I want you to think about a time that you received some good news. What was it? How did it make you feel? It could be something simple from this week or maybe an important event from a few years ago. But think of a time that you received some good news. Maybe it was something personal or something that happened to a friend or a family member. But how did you feel when you heard it or when you read that message with good news? Was there a sudden burst of joy within you? Was there a flood of excitement? Was there maybe a sense of relief, like a burden had been lifted? What did you do? Did you smile? Did you laugh? Did you hug someone? Did you shout it out? Think of a time that you received from good news. How did it make you feel? Now, I know maybe for some of us, we've had so much bad news recently, it can be difficult for us to think of better times. So let me give you an example of something really simple, that gave me a bit of comfort. During the week, we went to get a coffee in Butler's Cafe, just down the road here. And as you may be aware, they give you a free chocolate with your order. And as the barista went to reach for the one that I selected, she told me some good news. She said, "There are two chocolates stuck together. Have them both." Not life-changing, but it was a little bit of good news. And of course, I immediately shared it with Julie. The news, that is, not the chocolates. I ate them both. But of course, there has been a much more significant moment of receiving good news, too. I can remember that Monday evening, the 8th of April, back in 2019, when I answered the phone to hear the good news that you as a congregation had called me to be your minister. It was good news to me. Anyway, I hope you still feel it was good news too. Between now and Easter, we are going to be looking together at the first half of Mark's gospel. And Mark has got some good news to tell us. In fact, that word gospel simply means good news in Old English. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, he writes, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." This introduction tells us that Mark is going to tell us the story of Jesus of Nazareth, who he believes is the Christ and the Son of God. And that to him is good news that he wants to share. You might find it helpful to have a Bible open to Mark chapter 1 as we look at verses 1 to 15 in more detail. And again, that's on page 33 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. As far as we know, the Mark who wrote this book was the John Mark that we meet in Acts chapter 12. And what we know about him from the parts of the Bible is that a church met in his house in Jerusalem, which was possibly the location of the upper room where the Last Supper took place. He accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, and although he and Paul had a falling out during this time, Mark is mentioned fondly by Paul in some of his later letters, so they obviously made up and became friends again. And he's also referred to by Peter in his first epistle as his spiritual son. And according to early church tradition, Mark was a close friend and gospel co-worker with Peter. And so most likely, much of what we read in Mark comes from Peter's preaching about who Jesus was. His gospel is the shortest out of the four and was probably the first written. And then Matthew and then Luke added extra details to what he wrote for their own accounts of Jesus' life. Mark writes succinctly, his gospel is fast-paced and action-packed. And he begins his good news with two quotations from the Old Testament, one from Malachi chapter 3, the other from Isaiah 40. These prophets lived at different times, but both came to God's people saying, "I've got good news and I've got bad news. The bad news is that because of your great sin, judgment is coming. But the good news is that one day God is going to send his Messiah to rescue his people from sin. And in these particular verses, they say that before the Messiah comes, God will send his messenger to prepare the way, to make sure people don't miss it. Malachi is the last book written in the Old Testament. So Mark is effectively picking up where the Old Testament left off. It's part of one big story. John the Baptist is the final prophetic voice telling a people who were consumed every day by bad news that God's good news is coming. In verse 6, it tells us that John was dressed like many of his prophet predecessors, wearing camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And John had a really powerful ministry that impacted an entire nation. His preaching caused a massive spiritual revival. There must have been tens of thousands of people who were baptized by him as an outward sign of their repentance. Thousands of people confessing their sins, turning their hearts to God and changing their lives. And that, of course, is good news. But it's not the good news that Mark wants to share. As amazing as John's ministry was, it is nothing compared to what was coming next. John is just the warm-up act. Look at what he says in verses 7 and 8. The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John's ministry was a preview of what God was about to do. Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit, meaning that he would change people from the inside out. He would be able to wash away the sin out of their hearts. Mark, in just a few short verses, builds our anticipation as the reader for the arrival of Christ. Jesus will bring greater hope than the prophets. Jesus will turn more hearts to God than John ever could. And then one day, as John was out by the River Jordan preaching and baptizing, Jesus comes from a place called Nazareth in the northern region of Galilee to be baptized by John. He comes to be baptized not because he needs to be forgiven of his sins, but to identify with those that he came to save. He makes his way down to the river. John lowers him down until he is covered by the waters. But as he comes up, verse 10 tells us that he sees the heavens being torn apart as a sign of God pouring his approval, his blessing, his anointing on Christ. And then in this great moment of Trinitarian glory, God the Spirit descends like a dove on God the Son. And God the Father speaks and says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The scriptures, John the Baptist, the voice of God from heaven, all confirm the good news of Mark's opening statement that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then in verses 12 to 13, we get a glimpse of what the Son of God is going to do in the chapters that follow. Immediately after his baptism, the Spirit guides Jesus into the wilderness where he is tempted by Satan for 40 days. Again, Mark is light on the details, but here he introduces a theme of Christ's power over evil, a theme that he will build on throughout the rest of the gospel. The first Adam was tempted in the garden and fell into sin. Christ, however, the second Adam, was tempted in the wilderness and did not sin. He overcomes all the physical and spiritual powers and dangers to begin his ministry. Look with me at verses 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus begins his ministry by preaching good news. But what is that good news? It is that the time that the prophets were waiting has now arrived. The kingdom of God is at hand because the king is here. Jesus is the good news. At this point, Jesus has not yet healed anybody. He hasn't cast out any demons, and there have been no miracles. His death on the cross, his resurrection, are still 3 years away. So the good news that he is appealing for people to believe in is himself. Jesus is the good news. The gospel begins not with what Jesus can do for us, but simply who Jesus is. The Christian faith is not primarily about following a set way to live your life, or about confessing a creed, or about understanding a theology. Yes, it involves all those things, but at its heart, the Christian faith is all about Jesus, knowing him, trusting him, loving him. And so these opening verses in Mark are less of an introduction to the rest of the book, but more of an invitation to know Jesus better. Or if you think of it like this, if Mark's gospel was written as an answer to a question, then that question would be, who is Jesus? The gospel of Mark is an answer to the question, who is Jesus? I wonder how you would answer that question. How you would answer the question, who is Jesus? Who would you say that he is? Maybe this morning you're not quite sure. You come to church, but you don't really know what you believe about who Jesus is. I can remember chatting with a friend from another church many years ago, and he told me this story that when he was a teenager, he decided that he wanted nothing more to do with church. And he told his parents that he wanted to stop going. His father, who was a wise and gentle man, said that before he made up his mind, he wanted him to do him one thing. He asked for him to take a few weeks and read through Mark's gospel. And if at the end he still wanted nothing to do with church, then that would be okay. He agreed, and as he read through the pages, his life was changed because he was presented with the person of Jesus. And it was good news to him. And he has been following Jesus and helping others know Jesus ever since. And maybe over these next few weeks, as we look at Mark's gospel, maybe you'll have an encounter with the real Jesus too. Or maybe you know what you believe about Jesus, but over the years, your faith has become about other things. And maybe you feel like you're not growing spiritually. Well, then maybe you too need to come back to the simplicity of what it's really all about and remind yourself who Jesus is. See what he did and hear what he says. Or maybe this morning you just need some good news to hold on to keep you from sinking from the weight of all your bad news. Well, Jesus is the good news that you need. Within the pages of Mark's gospel, there is hope and joy and peace and love because every page is about Jesus. And it's only the beginning. The good news, this good news, never becomes old news. The more you know about Jesus, the better news he becomes, and there is enough of him to fill eternity. So think back to that piece of good news that I asked you to think about at the start. Remember all those wonderful feelings you get when you hear some good news. That is what knowing Jesus can bring into your life every day, now and forever. Yay. Jesus is the good news. He came proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Let's take a moment to pray as we respond in our hearts to the preaching of God's word. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the good news that Jesus Christ is your beloved Son. Lord God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would make the pages of Scripture come alive to us so that we may know Christ in all his fullness. Help us to repent of our sins and to believe in the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.